Businesswomen of faith, Ashley Winston is here to help you with real talk, real advice, and real commitment to become exactly who God predestined you to be. A confident leader, an overcomer, a strong woman of faith. Your journey to God's best has already been planned. You just have to follow it. Head over to Ashley's website, theashleywinston.com. You'll find her books, Break Free, You Are Enough, and The 7 Secrets to Living Your Best Life, as well as her 7 Secrets to Living Your Best Life training course. No matter what life throws at you, there's a way to break free and be unstoppable. Sign up for Ashley's email list and you'll get the first chapter of her new book for free. Just go online to theashleywinston.com today.
I had to learn about who he was, who I am in him. And I had to learn about what I could do, how life should be, and what he promised me in his word, because the word of God is filled with precious promises that are already predestined for our lives. But we've got to get in that word and discover them. We've got to get in that word and research out who we are, who he is, what he says we can do, what he says we can have, or we'll never receive it. I wish I could tell you, you know, there's a shortcut to this, because people talk to me about this all the time, you know, ask me questions about this, and like how I was able to grow in Christ, you know, how I was able to write my books or do whatever. Where did I get the confidence to do those things? And it all came from my relationship with God. I didn't have it. And I get it from his word. There's no other way to fortify yourself. You've got to go in that word and find out what God says about you. And you've got to choose to believe it. And the Bible tells us in Romans 12:2 to be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. But I remember that, you know, whatever it was that I needed in the word of God, or whatever I felt like I was missing in my life, I would write this list, right? And I would write this list if I felt like, you know, I needed joy. I would, you know, find scriptures on joy. If I felt like I needed finances, I would find scriptures on finances. If I felt like I needed peace, I would find scriptures on peace. And I would write them on post-it notes and I would stick them all over my house. And at that time in my life, I was traveling back and forth a lot to different schools. I worked in schools. And so I was in my car a ton. My car was basically my office. And so I would put these post-it notes all over my car. And I can remember putting, you know, whatever I felt like I really, really needed, or whatever I wanted to focus on my steering wheel. And, you know, whenever I would get to a red light, if I would think about something that wasn't favorable or something I was discouraged about or something I felt like I needed to be empowered about, I would look at that scripture and I would rehearse that scripture. I would speak it over myself. It wasn't that long, but, you know, soon enough, my life started to change. How I thought about things changed. My confidence grew. I started to get clarity about what I was supposed to be doing and different decisions that I needed to make as it related to people I was hanging around and, you know, all of those different things. And it was really the word of God doing it. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? Isn't that interesting? So whatever we put in our minds, right, drops in our heart, and out of our hearts, our lives are produced. And that brings us back to identity. And I looked up the word heir. And the word heir means one who receives an inheritance by right of birth, okay? Not based off how good you look, not based off having it all together, not based on how well you perform, how well you speak, how big of a business you build, right? It's based on a birthright, a right of birth. It's a privilege because of a family that you're born into. And that's what happens when we give our lives to Christ. And so it's a decision to live in agreement with who God says you are. The Bible says that the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. These are the people who know their God and know who they are. That's who the world is waiting for. They're waiting for you. That was a little bit of my teaching from the I Am Heir Project that was created by my spiritual little brother who I have with me today on the Break Free podcast. I'm so honored and so excited to have him here with us, recording artist, Javonte Howard. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on your show. It is a pleasure and a wonder. And, you know,
it's not a wonder. Is it a wonder? I'm glad to have you. Thank you for making time for me. I know you had quite a busy schedule over the last few weeks.
Yeah, but, you know, we thank God for being busy.
So Javonte reached out to me, you guys, a few weeks back about being a part of his I Am Heir project, which is essentially a project that's a compilation of music, but also some teachings
about your identity and restoring and helping to remind you of your identity in Christ, your sonship, your daughtership in the Lord. Javonte, where did this project come from? I know we talk, you guys, you know, quite a bit, but this I Am Air, I was like, where did this come from?
Yo, I Am Air actually came from a place. I was in my dorm room, as I am right now, and the Lord starts speaking to me saying, I am Air. And I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? What do you mean? And that's what the Lord left me with, I am Air. So that started resonating in my spirit, started resonating in my soul. And actually, I am a theology major here at Trinity Christian College. And as soon as I go into my theology courses, what does my teacher start teaching about? Being heirs, being a part of the kingdom of God. And so in that moment, especially in a dark place, God was speaking to me and was reminding me of my identity as not only son, but also as being an heir to him. That knowing that because I belong to him, there are things that I have access to because he labels me as his son. So I am heir is birthed from a place of not only being identified as a son of God, but it's a reminder that because we are in the kingdom of God, that we are called to be royal people. But also, God is reminding the church in this season who we are and who we are called to be and what we are called to do in the earth for the kingdom of God. So that's where I Am Air is birthed from, to remind the nation, to remind the nation, to remind the church of who we are, but also what we are called to do in the earth.
I love that. I can just hear, and I know the listeners can too, your passion.
You
can just hear your passion for God, your passion for this project, and I know your passion for music. Javonte, where are you from?
Man, I am originally from Oak Park, Illinois. That is where I was born. I was raised on the southwest side. and then I moved over to Oak Park, Illinois. That's where I was raised. I went to school there. Everything is like my life is in Oak Park. But this is the thing about learning about where we're from. I had to also understand, naturally, this is where I'm from, but spiritually, I come from the Father.
Absolutely.
That is where I come. And oftentimes, we're so stuck on the natural state of our being that we forget about the spiritual aspect.
Absolutely. And that wasn't a trick question when I was asking you. I know you were looking at me like, why are you asking me that? Because you know where I'm from, but our listeners don't know. And so I wanted them to hear, you know, a little bit about your background and where you're from, because you were looking at me like, what in the world? So when did your passion for music begin?
My passion for music began my seventh grade year of middle school. I remember, during the first year of middle school, my sixth grade year, I was rejected from the school play.
I'm just curious, what play was it?
Oh my God, I think it was called Rock Around the Block or something, some 60s inspired play.
So you didn't make the list.
Was done with music. Seventh grade year came around and I met Mrs. Albers, and she honestly restored my passion for music. She was so gracious to me and worked with me like day in and day out. And I remember when I went to high school, did music stuff, but still was battling with rejection. And I remember when it came to college, I wanted to study music, but I thought I wasn't good enough, especially when it came to music theory. And I end up teaching, like going into teaching, but I felt uncomfortable. Like I felt like something was missing. And I end up changing my major to music. And I didn't do too good with music theory at first, but now I am unstoppable, and I believed in my own self to do it.
I love it. Come on, unstoppable, break free and be unstoppable. Yeah. I can really relate. Well, first of all, thank God for teachers, right? That, you know, sacrifice their time and whatever else they're sacrificing to help us develop our gifts and talents. I definitely know that a big part of how I've gotten this far has definitely been teachers, help, you know, people who've poured into my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about doing the same thing for others. And, you know, I knew the story a little bit about your story, how it began, but I didn't know we had this in common about the music theory. So the funny part, when I was in college, actually, I started off as a musical theater major, which a lot of people don't know. And I was in musical theater all, you know, high school and even I think junior, basically my whole life, I was involved with music. I mean, I even sang at somebody's wedding. Can you believe that? I know, come on, wedding. But then I got to college, and the first day I remember that my jazz instructor was like, Ashley, come up here and sing the blues scale. I was so nervous. I was like, okay. So I get up there and I'm like, you know, I'm hoarse. I can't, I'm hoarse. And she slaps the piano with her. I'm talking about slaps the piano. And she goes, and I'm a rabbit, sing the scale. I was like, what? I was so embarrassed. She's like, sing the scale. I was like, doo 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 doo. I was in there trying to, you know, recall it or whatever. I decided after my first year, I dropped the music part, and that's how I became a theater major. And so then I studied theater, and then eventually I got into film and things like that. And then God interrupted my life and was like, ministry. And how this all comes together was still walking by faith, the wild adventures of faith. But I love that teacher came. I love that story. You got back into it. And now look, you are producing these amazing projects. I Am Air. You produced an amazing project for Easter that was beautiful to not only listen to. The music was beautiful, but the aesthetics as well. And I've just had the privilege and the pleasure of seeing you grow. You know, we met at church and you have just blossomed. And each year I just see you, you know, move more and more into what God has called you to do. So I know you've just had the live recording. Enough about my the details of my college life. You just had a live recording for I Am Air. And I know there's a few different songs on the album. What's your favorite one?
Man, this is... Everyone asks me that question and I can never answer it because each song is a testament of different aspects of my, well, different seasons of my life. And so if I may just explain just a little bit. So Imago Dei talks about being in reconciliation. And then Sons and Daughters is self-explanatory. It talks about being sons and daughters. That song is the most dearest to me because that song is a testament of God delivering me into my identity as son. And then the last song on the album is Prodigal Son. That song is probably about my favorite because let's just say we get a little ratchet, okay? We get a little hood. We have fun in the kingdom of God, but I love that song because it's just, we think about the story of the prodigal son, and it has this different, people have their different adaptation of it, but that song just brings out not only the love of the father, but the joy that we have when we run to him, that he invites us to his table. But not only that, but he wants us. And so that song is dear to me as well because I'm wanted by the father and I am his son. So yeah.
I love that. Yes, I was Prodigal Son. I haven't heard that. I'm so excited to listen to that album. You know, we had the recording, but once it's, you know, final and out and everything like that, because, you know, I was hoping that you were going to talk about Sons and Daughters because that's my favorite song. You know, I love that. I sing that to the top of my lungs all the time at home. I really do. I love that because just the spirit behind it. It just is exactly what you said, God calling us, right? Who we are and calling us to take our place in the world and society and to be all that he's called us to be and to do exactly what he's called us to do.
And that's exactly why that song is written. It's a calling. It's a command. Not only is it a calling, but it's a command. Like it talks about sons and daughters arise in this place. That's a command. Like, this is who you are. So stand into it, walk into it. And I love that because that song is so authoritative, not in the bad way, but in the way to like, hey, It's time to wake up, world. It's time to wake up, people.
Yes, you are a son, you are a daughter. Speaking of waking up, world, I love that. I actually want the listeners to hear a little bit of it, so.
Definitely.
Let's take a listen. It's time. So, you know, I know that we've only got a little bit of time left here. We both have to go on to what's next. Praise the Lord. And I had a whole teaching that we played. We wanted to play a whole song. This is a Break Free podcast extravaganza today, this month. But, you know, I know there's somebody listening who is trying to figure out what they're called to do, or maybe they're in music or just on their journey with God. And, you know, we love to talk about the highs, but there are so many lows, right? Yeah. When you have a call in your life and when you're trying to just advance the kingdom of God. And I just would like you to speak about, I guess, what's been your biggest challenge thus far on this journey with God of becoming?
The biggest challenge, honestly, and this is the truth and nothing but the truth, is the fact of being receptive. That has been the biggest challenge for me, to be receptive of God calling me son, but also God calling me into a place of being a dwelling place with him, but also in just like the different places that he's called me into, as far as career-wise. And
explain that a little bit more.
So receiving that identity, knowing and rejecting my past in order to live fully into me being son. So when I look at myself, I have to reject the shame, the guilt, and I have to be receptive of the grace of as son. I have to receive that this is what God is calling me, but also not just receiving, but believing. And that is the key thing. Like, now I believe I am son. So as I'm believing, as I'm receiving, as I'm walking into it, I become, as you say, unstoppable. This is my breakthrough. I am broken free from rejection, shame, all of that. I'm unstoppable because I receive and I believe.
Yeah, I think that's key, right? Because the Bible is a book full of, you know, promises.
Yeah.
But the promises are only available to those who know who they are in Christ. And who are willing to do what God is telling us that those who knew who they are in Christ do, willing to do that, right? It's, and so absolutely receiving it. And sometimes, you know, our pasts are not, I mean, everybody has a past, right? And it's like, oh, yikes, you don't want to look back there. And God even tells us, hey, forget those things which are behind. But sometimes it's, you know, easier said than done, because there can be things that are reminding you of your past.
Yeah.
All people, situations, you know, I know one of the hardest times of my life, I went through something terrible and there was a reminder on every corner, to say the least. I mean, because God kept putting me, he was planting me in environments, the same environment where I was jacked up was the same environment that God had me planted in. And I knew I couldn't leave. I had to just yield and go through that. You know, God doesn't do that to beat us up. It was purposeful, as it related to who he called me to be.
Yeah.
So I love that. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners. And, you know, I wrote down so many different questions and I know we've got to get going, but I wanted to ask you before we wrap up the interview, what's your process for writing a song? Like, walk us through that a little bit.
Honestly, Ashley, I say this not to be cliche, because I know there's a lot of cliche that we throw out. I don't have a process. Honestly, I would say the process is listening to Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit saying? But also being in tune with what's around me, what's happening in my life, what's happening in the world. And oftentimes I'll just get the tune or I'll get the lyrics and I just go from there. It's almost like God gives me a jump start, and, you know, I just start, I get the idea and I write it down, and then I just start constructing it. So whether it's going to scripture, going to the dictionary, going to the thesaurus. So I just start putting them in place, putting the pieces together like a puzzle. So I know this probably is not the answer everyone is looking for, but I just have to be honest.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty. And I love that. Come on, jumpstart. I mean, anybody listening can just take that alone, just because God does speak to us. He does. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, I feel like sometimes in different seasons, it's like you're in a batting cage with God and he keeps throwing the ball out. Like, you're going to hit this one. You're going to hit this one. And the idea is, you know, you might not hit every one, but at some point, if you keep swinging that bat, you're going to hit something. If you stay in there, you're going to hit something, right?
Yeah.
And so I've seen you do that a few times where God has thrown an idea towards you. Worship in the parks, which I love. I had a great time at Worship in the Parks. I can't wait for that to, you know, come back again. I know we had a lot of different changes this last year with COVID and the pandemic, but I really enjoyed myself. For those of you who are listening, if you don't know, Javonte spearheaded and led another project called Worship in the Parks, where basically exactly what it says, we were worshiping in the park, but it, you know, was full production and just bringing the community together for a great time and bringing people out from their homes in the neighborhood, their apartments and restaurants and things, who don't even, you know, didn't know Jesus, but they, you know, were able to receive Christ there. And able to worship the Lord, which was such a beautiful thing. So I'm so thankful for your time today. I'm so glad that you were able to, you know, be with us today. And final question, who's your favorite artist and why? You guys can't see. He just gave me the biggest eye roll of life. Why the eye roll? Who's your favorite artist? You can't pick one?
I cannot. I don't want to be biased. Honestly, okay. My favorite artist.
You like Tasha Cobbs. I know that.
I love Tasha.
I know. I was going to say you love Tasha Cobbs. I know that for a fact.
Okay, honestly, I will have to go with Chandler Moore as my favorite artist. He's a well-rounded lyricist and also psalmist. And he's just unique. And I just love the way that he writes. Like, he writes from a vulnerable place.
That's a whole nother episode, right? Vulnerability. I think I'm going to talk about that in November. We have a guest who wrote a new book that's coming out as it relates to, building businesses and such. But vulnerability, super powerful. And you're right, because the thing about that Chandler Moore Maverick City music is that you can have it on and you can be doing laundry, doing whatever, and not too long after, you're gonna be singing, you might be crying on your knees. That music, it does, it brings you in.
It It does.
I've been listening to one of their songs lately, just on repeat. It's just really been just like nourishing. Nourishing is the word I think of to my inner man. So, okay, so Chandler Moore, and you love Tasha Cobbs, I know.
If anybody out there knows Tasha Cobbs, please tell her to hit me up.
You always say that Tasha is your, what do you always say?
Your, it's my auntie.
Yeah, your auntie. I'm sticking with it. Come on. Come on, call those things which be not as though they were. You never know. This podcast, apparently, according to the Holy Ghost, is reaching a lot of people. More than I knew. More than I knew. That's the thing about obedience. You just do what God says, and He does the rest as we continue to partner with Him. So, you know, why don't you close us out with prayer?
Definitely.
And specifically, if you don't mind, target the area of identity, God's sons and daughters arising and taking their place in society.
Yeah, so y'all, let's pray. Father of grace and mercy, I thank you for this time of community. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to your sons and daughters in every tribe, in every nation, in every tongue. Father, I thank you for Ashley, Father, and her ministry. Father, and I just speak into it even now that it will prosper with good health, with good wealth in the name of Jesus. And Father, I speak over sons and daughters from Asia to Africa to North South America to Europe and Australia and even in Antarctica. And I command you to rise by the Spirit of God. I pray, Father, that all who are listening to this podcast would know and understand your love for them, your love for humanity, Father. And I pray, Father, that on this day that seeds are being deposited in the lives of your sons and daughters, Father, and as Ashley and I are planting seeds, Father, I pray, Father, that you will come by your Spirit to water it and to make it grow in Jesus' name, Father. And we shall and will see a harvest of sons and daughters arising all over the world, Father, in every nation, Father, with every tribe, with every tongue. And Father, I pray against the hand of the enemy, Father, that tries to, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Father, I thank you that you are restoring, Father. You are establishing, Father. God, you've already done it. You've already established and restored our identities, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we will be receptive and that we will walk fully as your sons and daughters. And so, Lord, I speak to sons and daughters and I tell them and I encourage them to be encouraged. This walk is not going to be easy, but it's worth it. And Father, remind them that you are with them, that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a powerful prayer. That's why the music is so hot. Right there, the prayer life, the prayer life. Well, that's all the time that we have today. Until next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Break Free podcast. Be sure to share the show with somebody, and I would love to know what you thought of today's episode. You can connect with me on IG at The Ashley Winston, or you can connect with me by going to my website at theashleywinston.com. Remember, friend, to show up, tell the truth, and do the work so that you can live God's best for your life. Until next time.